When I started to prepare this sermon, I was drawn to the Old Testament reading, which is part of the story of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Isaac, and Ishmael. And I thought long and hard about preaching from that passage. I prepared quite a lot, spent a lot of time reading and preparing for that. It's a tragic story, the story of Hagar. I was going to focus on Hagar. She is enslaved, abused, mistreated, rejected and abandoned, left in the desert to die, the horror of the story of Hagar and Sarah and Abram and Abraham really is made alive to us, the horror of that situation, in the book and TV show on Hulu called Handmaid's Tale. That show, Handmaid's Tale, if you've seen it, is based on the kind of situation going on with Sarah and Hagar and Abraham. One of the things I read about that Hagar story when I was getting ready to preach it was that these kind of tragic, sad stories are a struggle to read. And there's oftentimes no happy ending and nothing really to do with them except walk away feeling injured. Walking away feeling injured. Many of us feel injured for various reasons. Right now, things maybe that have happened to us in our own lives, stories that we've heard or internalized or absorbed. Maybe some of us watch too much or even just a little bit of news. There's plenty of injury to go around. After just sitting in the pain of that Hagar story for a while, I came back to the gospel story and decided to think about it instead, that story we just read of the commissioning of the 12 apostles. So in this story of the 12, and there'll be a little bit of overlap with the Hagar thing, the commissioning of the 12 is, it represents a commissioning of the church, of you and me, of us, of our community. And when I looked at this gospel passage, especially in light of the pain having read the Hagar story so much, this question came to mind. What does it mean that Jesus gave us, and turning it from the 12 disciples to us, what does it mean that Jesus gave us authority over unclean spirits to throw them out, to heal every disease and every sickness? What does it mean that we might make this announcement, the kingdom of heaven has come near, that we might heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, and to throw out demons? What does that mean? What does it look like in our lives, in our church or whatnot? Because of the stories that we know and movies we watch, I think we have an idea of what miracles might look like. These are miracle things, right? Heal skin diseases, throw out demons. So we have an idea of miracles. But I don't think that that's what Jesus necessarily means for us, especially not in the light of our stories. So I don't think that Jesus means for us to make giant chocolate-covered miracle pills and force them down people's throats and to wake up people who are mostly dead. I don't think that it means that we are to use the force and to heal wounds that are left by lightsabers or blasters or force lightning. I don't think it means that we're to wave around a white jacket and make people fall down. I don't think that it means that we're to treat prayer like a wish list or to treat God like a cosmic Santa Claus. So what does it mean that Jesus gave us authority over unclean spirits, over demons, to throw them out, to heal every disease and every sickness? What does it mean that we are given the command to announce that the kingdom of heaven is near and all those things? Well, I have an acquaintance, loosely a friend, named Chris Zimmerman. He's a pastor in Germany. And the way that he answers that question, I think, is really important and very good. And this is kind of the way he phrases it. He talks about imagining what the kingdom of heaven on earth looks like, and then working to make that happen. So the first part in answering our question, what does it mean to heal and cast out demons for us? The first part of that answer is to exercise our imagination. One of the main themes in that Hagar story is the theme of seeing, which is a metaphor for understanding or comprehending. At one point in the Hagar narratives, Hagar encounters God, sees God, and names God, the only person in the Bible who gets to do this. And she names God, the God who sees me. So this idea of seeing, the God who sees me, and then Hagar being her eyes open several times and understanding and comprehending, one thing that we can do is to realize what is actually going on around us, to open our eyes metaphorically and comprehend what's happening. I have a friend who refuses to read books or to listen to podcasts or to consult researchers or experts. This friend only believes their own experiences, what they do. And I hope you can see the danger of that. It is closing off your mind to truth. We must be willing to learn and to unlearn and to grow in our understanding. We must be willing to listen to and learn from others. Another part of developing an imagination is developing an imagination for what God's kingdom on earth looks like. That we would really imagine that. What does true peace, true shalom, actually look like? How does it feel? What fragrance does it have? We are trained in our world to think of ourselves and our own preferences, things that are good for us, for me, for my people. We're trained in individualism. And that's a major danger for us when we're trying to imagine what the kingdom of God might look like, because our imagination can be stunted because it's so inwardly focused. God's vision and God's love for the world is expansive, and it's far bigger than you or me or us or our church or our denomination or our country or any small thing. God's embrace and love and peace is all embracing. And so we must develop a bigger vision. God wants us to create communities where we are connected, not where it's just a bunch of individuals existing together. I'm not going to take the time to read them again. I read them frequently, but Isaiah 65, parts of Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21 are two of my favorite go-tos for helping to prompt our imagination for what God's kingdom on earth might look like. You know, things like there won't be weeping or crying, babies won't only live a few days, the old won't fail to live out their days, people won't be slaves and work for others. The former things are gone, the hard things of this earth. So we need to begin to imagine what heaven on earth would look like. Another piece of this, and this is really important, is to reimagine what demons and sicknesses are. And I want to suggest that sickness is not just what might put somebody in the hospital, although it's certainly that also. And demons aren't just some spiritual creature that we can imagine or have seen in cartoons or movies or whatever. But I want to say that demons and diseases are things that infect the systems and structures of our world. Things that infect our minds and imaginations and our biases. We are possessed by demons. And those demons are called racism, sexism, classism, ableism, homophobia, transphobia, and they have many other names. We are called to name them and to cast them out. So what does healing and casting demons out look like? What does healing and casting out demons look like? For one thing, it is to notice what's going on around us, to learn and to unlearn what we have learned. Another part of it is to develop an imagination for the kingdom of God on earth, and to develop an imagination for the shape that demons and diseases take in our world. The third part is to work, to do the work, to actually cast out those demons and to make this world better match the kingdom of God. And that last part is no easy task, and I have no incredible wisdom to give you. My focus today is on helping us to imagine, to see the kingdom of God, and to imagine seeing demons in places where we wouldn't have normally seen them. The third part is something that we have to live into, and it is simply a challenge to place before us. It's not something that a sermon can fix. We have work to do. We have demons to name and to cast out. We have been given authority to do this work. So let's get to it. Join me in prayer. Lord God, I pray that you would help our imaginations to expand, that you would help us to take time to read and to listen and to learn and to unlearn. And finally, that you would give us the boldness and the wisdom and the energy to do the work of announcing that the kingdom of God has come near, of doing the work of healing diseases, and doing the work of casting out the demons that possess us. Would you give us that courage? Would you open our minds? Would you give us the strength and authority that we need to do this hard work before us? We will give you all glory. You who are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.